Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Goodbye to the month of July. Whew. We are almost to August, folks. Can you believe it?
I thought June was quick.
Yeah. And all of a sudden you get through the 4th and everything else of July, and all of a sudden we are jam-packed into the summer heat, getting ready for a little bit of Crusader Athletics.
I was going to say, you're too busy sweating off July to even realize it's gone past.
No kidding. I made the mistake of wearing jeans to church on Sunday, and I kept telling my wife, like, man, I am so sweaty today. I don't know what's happened. Then I realized, oh yeah, I'm wearing something that I normally only wear in the winter to church on a very hot, humid Sunday afternoon. That made a lot more sense. But hey, like we said, we are winding down the dog days of summer, and we are getting geared up for athletics live and in living color. And I'm Caleb Hamill, joined by Josh West. Dalton Stanford's the other voice you hear. He's operating behind the board, and we are getting excited for this new athletics calendar. We've been talking to a couple different coaches. We had Coach Shirley on recently. We'll have her in a more in-depth interview in the coming weeks. We also had Coach Farrell on in our most recent episode, breaking down a little bit of the men's soccer team and the schedule coming up. A lot of home games for him and company. But to start off the show today, in natural selection order, we're coming right to the one that we haven't covered yet that's going to be next up on the docket, and that is women's soccer. Coach Danny Owens is on the phone to join us. Coach Owens, how's your summer been?
Yeah, I had a good summer. Kind of like you said, June was really fast, and I felt like July slowed down a little bit, and now it's preseason time, so getting ready to get going with the team.
Yeah, Coach, a lot of people look back at last season and think, you know, going to be a great team, had a very dominant effort, and obviously it came to a close a little bit quicker than people expected. A lot of pieces have gone away, whether it be graduation or what have you, but as it always seems to happen, it seems like William Carey doesn't rebuild, they reload.
Yeah, well, that's the goal every year, you know, is, teams in the past that have had a lot of success, it helps to bring in more good players, and we feel like we've brought in some good players this year, and hopefully we can have another successful season.
Coach, for you, I know you mentioned how fast, this is Josh, how fast that June went, and HFC, probably the bulk of the HFC calendar was in June. That slowed down and quieted some in July. So a lot of player development, rounding out the roster. From what you were able to watch this summer, players like a Karen Vallow and others, their development, some of them that were rehabbing from injuries, some officiated this summer. Just kind of give us the recap of where these Carey players that are coming back and where some of the new faces, where they participated and developed over the summer.
Yeah, so obviously we had some girls that stuck around in the summer and took some summer classes and played with our summer team here in Hattiesburg, which was great. Some of them, got to rehab. We had Virginia, who hurt her ankle kind of at the end of the spring, and she was unable to play, but she got to, rehab here with our trainers and get attention with the doctors, so that was good. And we had one of our girls from Jackson played in Jackson, one of our girls from Baton Rouge did a little bit, so we had some girls playing, and then some of our internationals, their season kind of ends at the end of the spring, beginning of the summer, so I think they get to train a little bit once those teams get going again, and then they turn around and flying out here to Hattiesburg. So hopefully everybody's been a little bit busy and kept moving, doing something.
Yeah, it feels like for folks that are around Mississippi all the time, they know about things in the baseball realm of travel ball and fall ball and all these things, to where baseball ends up being a year-round sport for the ones that take it really seriously. But soccer seems like it's that way too, with all the different leagues that people could be a part of, especially over the summer. And it just kind of brings about this question for me. Coach, when is your slow time of the year, with all that said?
Like over July 4th week, I think.
That's about it.
1 week.
I think that's it. Yeah, I mean, we you know, Rory and I really work really hard over the spring and beginning of the summer to get the, you know, all we had three summer league teams in Hattiesburg playing. So that was a lot of work. And then they kind of winded down. I got to go on vacation for a few days over the July 4th, and you get back and we had a youth camp. And then really like a week or two of just kind of a downtime. But those weeks, you just kind of start prepping, making sure all the players have everything they need to come in. You got to work with housing and scheduling. And so yeah, we really don't stop. You know, we had, like I said, a few days over that July 4th week and youth camp. And we're not quite as busy, but you're still doing a lot to get ready for preseason.
Speaking of getting a lot to get ready to get this roster compiled, with everything constantly evolving in the world of recruiting, especially in 2025 in the landscape of collegiate sports, to have the weight that William Carey University women's soccer carries with it certainly is beneficial. Is it more where at certain events Carey is making contact, or is a lot of initial contact coming from athletes to Carey? Is it a mixture? If we can, what you can share of some of the behind the scenes with all the relationships that you and your coaches have, and how you're able to attract the best players, not only in the country, but from across the globe?
I think it's a little bit of both. You know, some of our, most of our American players that we have, we kind of find, you know, some of them reach out. We find, you know, Ryan is heavily involved in the older girls coaching in the club. So he gets to see kind of the local talent from this region, if you will. They're heavily involved in like different all-star games and whatever. So we get a chance to see as many, you know, top level players from around this region. So again, it's a combination of we identify, they've emailed us, then we go identify, you know, just to kind of that recruiting process. And then, we're kind of in a stage these days, the international recruiting, it seems like there's a ton of agencies out there that kind of help these kids find places to go. You know, we have, say, two Spanish girls that are coming in. We worked with an agent there, but she reached out to us maybe in August with these two players. And, you know, you do your best to kind of go through and figure out how good they are, what leagues they play in. You watch film, you know, just, you know, as much as you can vet those players as possible. And but I think that those agencies reach out to us with their better players, which allows us to kind of, you know, kind of pick through and identify. But so, you know, it's a combination. You know, one of our Japanese girls, Coco, she emailed us from Japan. Don't know how she found us. Don't know, you know, anything, but she emailed us and we kind of followed up. So you kind of get all of a mixture of us identifying, players identifying, agents contacting us, internationals just contacting us. We sometimes have internationals say that they've, you know, researched the top 10 teams in the NAI and found us and are interested in our program. We've got a couple junior college players that we've been able to bring in this year. And those coaches reach out to us and say, hey, I've got a player that I think fits your, you know, your level and your team. So there's, we say there's no stone unturned in the office. We explore all options and try to get, you know, find the best players that we can, however we can find them.
You know, I think you've told us before that if a team ever makes it to the final site for the NAIA soccer tournament, two things often happen. One, recruits reach out to those schools first, as they just canvass their efforts in emails. But then also, too, the NCAA teams will often try to poach from those teams as well. We got about a minute left, Coach, and we'll have more time in a later show to break down a lot of your roster and the schedule. But I did want to ask one thing that stood out to me as we looked at the schedule ahead of this year. Georgia Gwinnett at 11 a.m. on a Wednesday. What happened there?
he just wanted to come in and get back home. So that was kind of his request was, can we play early enough? He's going to come in the night before and play the game and get back home. He doesn't play in a conference, so a lot of his games are on the road. So he just requested that. Mike and I have been playing against each other for years, so we kind of keep on a, you know, we play at home, we play away every year. So whatever we needed to do, you know, to help him out in his schedule, we oblige. So
yeah, one less hotel night. Those are expensive when you have a whole team to house. Coach, we appreciate your time here on this busy Monday, and we look forward to hearing from you and hearing what goes on the training field ahead of this upcoming season.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
That is Danny Owens, head women's soccer coach at William Carey University, getting ready for the 2025 soccer season. Got to be a lot of fun. Not nearly the number of home games as Coach Farrell and company, but some good matches to get ready for nonetheless. High, heated competition likely to come here over to Coach Owens' namesake field in Hattiesburg. All right, coming up, we'll break down a little bit of what we talked about earlier. Also, a look around at NAIA baseball, what's happened over the summer. Some cool stuff from the draft and a whole lot more. That coming up as Crusader Talk continues.
From the coaches to the student athletes and the fans that cheer them on, you're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
I'm so ready. So ready to get out there and watch some soccer again. I didn't. You got at least a little bit of a pass, Josh. You had a little bit of a liaison between baseball ending and this new athletics calendar beginning with the USL stuff over the summer.
Sure.
And I'm a little jealous. I should have gone out there, should have been supportive, and should have got my fix a little bit then. But I got some family time then, which is good. But that itch is itching. Ready to be scratched.
And especially with HFC men and the ladies, but the ladies have been so good. That's been a known. You know, already won the league twice, and then this year were very, very competitive, but opted out of the postseason just because it is a developmental league. The way that the schedules fell, where that competition was going to take place in North Carolina, it was over, I think, might have been over 4th of July weekend or something crazy. The dates were really weird. So because of that, it was just known that they were not going to compete in the postseason. I'm going somewhere with this story. But the men, just in year two, the advancements they have made, the verbal commitments that they have for next summer for HFC men, there's a really good chance that HFC men, well, certainly they're going to be in the mix for a league championship in the South Division, Mid-South Division. They got a chance to win that thing. So in terms of getting your soccer fix, that is it. That's also a great developmental spot for William Carey men's soccer players. And you've got so many ties with Danny and Tom and others with that HFC. It's a really, really fun, you know, typically Saturday night or whatever to get out and watch them play. So you need to jump in there. If I'm not able to cover a match, you just got to shoot Clayton a text and say, hey, Clayton, bring me in off the bench. I'm ready.
I think it'll work. Just looking at his schedule, Coach Owens and company, August 21st, the start. That's a Thursday night over in Hattiesburg. It'll be against LSUA. Men are going to be playing LSUA, but over in Alexandria that same night. So you'll get a one-match wonder if you're here in town to start off the season. But then you have LSU Shreveport at home, then the road trip to Decatur and Orange Beach versus Lindsey Wilson and Kaiser, and then SCAD Savannah will also be in Orange Beach. That's always a fun classic that they play down there, two matches.
Now, did SCAD win the national championship, play in the national championship?
That sounds right.
That they were way, 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 way up there last year. So they were one or two last year, if I'm not mistaken. I'm just impressed with how fast you got to the bracket again.
It happens, I guess. Oh, no, that's wrong year on that one.
Nevertheless, this was an addition to the schedule that was an extremely good pickup for the ladies, who there aren't many that are willing to play William Carey women's soccer on a year in, year out basis.
No, they're not, and it gets harder and harder every year. If you ask Coach Owens about trying to get things scheduled, granted, he finds a way, and he gets some really good, tough teams in just about every season. And I'm not going to not Coach Farrell's schedule on the men's side. You can tell there's a little bit of a difference there, not just in competition level, but also the breakdown of home versus away. You can tell Coach Owens is not afraid of a challenge.
Well, and there's also more parity on the men's side overall.
I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, more parity there as well.
Yeah, but if you think about it too, from looking at the league of the SSAC, Coach Owens has to schedule hard in the off season, sure, or the preseason, whatever you want to say, outside of the conference, the games that he selects, because it just really hadn't been that competitive except for UT Southern last year.
And Xavier's going to help. That's a big pickup.
That is going to help. And boy, we talk about it just about every week, every other week. But a program that went from non-existence to prowess in Xavier. I mean, started off their entire season, I want to say, or at least one of the very first games they ever played was here in Hattiesburg.
And, and to be in New Orleans, to take a detour here, to talk about, my dad's from New Orleans, a little bit backstory there, grew up there during the 50s, 60s and all, and then moved to Mississippi in the 70s. New Orleans was a different world. But going back to just the hype of New Orleans, you think about Loyola, Tulane, Xavier, they've leaned into the carnival culture, to the party culture, to the hype of the city, the Florida Lee, the way they've incorporated the branding and the marketing and the just what a cool city they've branded New Orleans as to college kids. They have leaned into that. And you look at where a lot of these schools have gone, not so much Loyola, but a program like Xavier, in particular, a program like Tulane at the Division I level. Am I the only one noticing the New Orleans effect for those? And like, it's been in the last,
that's good,
6 to 8 years that's happened, when Tulane leaned into the Florida Lee and the branding and the marketing. I feel like when social media marketing really took off in college athletics and that branding, all of a sudden Tulane became cool. And it's been Tulane Medical and Tulane Law and incredibly difficult admission standards and super high tuition and all the, and they struggle to get athletes. And then all of a sudden Tulane is playing in the Cotton Bowl, winning the Cotton Bowl, for example, in football. I think there's been a carryover effect for a lot of things in New Orleans with all the momentum of the city, from the Sugar Bowl, the Super Bowl, the Final Four, the concerts, the, just everything. It's taken 20 years to come back from Katrina. And I say all that to wrap it up here. Xavier being in the city, Loyola being in the city, getting to go play them helps a William Carey to recruit. Hey, we're going to take a weekend in New Orleans. We'll catch the Audubon on the Audubon Zoo, or we'll go to the aquarium, or we're going to go have dinner in downtown New Orleans. We're going to do something fun while we're down there. We're going to make a weekend trip of it with the team. We're going to play two games. I just think that all of that helps the league. And it'll be interesting to see if at some point, I don't know if they're ever going to break away from Montgomery, but oh boy, if you had a co-hosting situation, in particular like in basketball, if Xavier could host the conference tournament in that facility in the Convocation Center, whew, because the regional was incredible. If you could bring the whole league, they got the hotels, they got the restaurants, they know how to throw a party, right? So, and fans would love to go, right? Parents can fly into that New Orleans airport a lot easier than they can fly into Montgomery.
They can.
Montgomery, you're good in but New Orleans.
You're a lot more centralized to the Georgia teams.
Who competes? Nobody competes with New Orleans other than Orlando and Vegas. It's Orlando, Vegas, New Orleans in terms of what American tourist destinations. New York City.
Yeah, New York is where I was going to think.
Yeah. Maybe to a small extent, LA, a little bit.
Yeah, it's so spread out. It's kind of hard to really embrace as a tourist destination.
Right. So you have a top five tourist destination. Our league now has multiple teams in the league there. The possibilities are endless.
Yeah. By the way, just a side note thing, thinking about the correlation I had in my head earlier about baseball and travel ball and soccer and all this, just made me think about my preparation for baseball, because I have a little bit of an off time because you take care of basketball for us. Is that I'll sit there and watch a few baseball movies just to kind of get geared up and ready for the baseball season. I'm trying to figure out what I need to watch ahead of soccer. Now, obviously, there's Bend It Like Beckham. That's a popular one there. But beyond that, I'm trying to think of what would be in the list. So this is the one that ChatGPT came up with.
I've got to hear this.
So these may be, I have no idea. If these are terrible and unrated, whatever, not for the family, then just ignore what I'm saying here. But number one was Bend It Like Beckham. Number two, Goal, The Dream Begins. And let's see. Green Street Hooligans. Kicking and Screaming, the Will Ferrell movie. That's in the list. That'd be a funny one there.
I would think you could do a lot worse than going and watching championship level matches of World Cup or maybe a U.S. Women's National Team gold medal game final of an Olympics or a World Cup. You know, just a great match with all of the pageantry of the World Cup or the Olympics or something like that. I know now, growing up, what would get me hyped for basketball was I had all the Michael Jordan VHS tapes.
Mm.
The Jordan Rules. Well, that was a book. But, oh, gosh.
Space Jam.
Space Jam. But, no, but there were all the different Jordan VHS tapes of the different – I would go buy the VHSs of the Unforgettables and so forth of the different championships.
We're dating ourselves here, by the way.
We're dating ourselves. VHS dates it enough.
Yeah, I actually handled a VHS tape yesterday.
And converted it.
Converting some home movies.
Yep. but for soccer, yeah. I mean, I get, like when I'm prepping in terms for getting my timing and rhythm and lingo.
Oh, sure, that.
I'll go back and watch that.
I'm just talking about getting in the mood for the season.
But see, that gets me fired up. It's just like
you mean She's the Man with Channing Tatum and Amanda Bynes before she went crazy? That's not it for you?
No, not it.
Okay.
That was what I was thinking about, though. I couldn't come up with the name. You nailed it.
Hey, it's a play on Shakespeare's Twelfth Night, if you believe that.
I don't know. I think you're setting me up.
You're not a Shakespeare guy, huh?
No.
We'll talk more about that during the break. Up next, a little recap of NAIA baseball and what that's looked like over the summer. MLB draft took a couple guys. We'll tell you about that when we come back.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, back with you, Crusader Talk. Talked to Coach Danny Owens earlier. If you missed that interview at our first segment, you can catch us on demand. Just search for Crusader Talk in your favorite podcasting app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, The Works. You can also look it up at carryathletics.com. There'll be a tab at the top you can click on, and it'll navigate you to Super Talk's website, where you can get all of our entire archive, I believe. I think it's all there. At least the last several will be available. And to where you can see all the different interviews we've had. Some things are dated, but some things stand the test of time.
You know, you let him off the hook a little bit. You didn't get too much into personnel.
That's right.
He's very excited about personnel coming from Clayton Rush. This is the word on the street. I'm putting you on the spot, Clayton. And I said this to Coach Owens. I said, Coach, I heard you were even cracked a smile when Clayton pried it out of you a little bit. So, Clayton was basically saying, you know, come on, Coach, you know you're going to be loaded, right? So he thinks they have reloaded, but yet he also acknowledges that they haven't kicked a ball in camp as a Crusader yet. So there are a lot of unknowns, but I think he was happy that he didn't have to talk personnel because he wants to evaluate, but he is more than cautiously optimistic. I think he thinks they have a chance to be really, really good. But he just wants to see how quick they can gel here over the next few weeks.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think there's two things at play here. One, it's getting the new group in. That's got them a little bit cautious. And obviously, you never want to count your chickens before they hatch. But two, I think in addition to the good personnel that he's assuming he has, there's also a different mentality this year compared to the years past. You think about the teams that have come in after making the championship match, and they're just in there ready to assume the position of get right back to where they were, and it just be easy. And I use that loosely. They may not think it's easy, but at the same time, you get to this year, and the girls that have returned had that chip on their shoulder.
Oh, they
we
do.
Underperformed last year.
Sure.
We did not play to the carry standard in the postseason, even though we had a terrific non-conference and conference play. That that loss to UT Southern stung, or tie, whatever it was. I can't even remember at this point. It's so far behind in the rearview mirror. But nevertheless, this group now has in front of them the challenge to get back to where they used to be.
Well, Karen, who is a woman of few words if you try to put her on the microphone, but over the course of getting to know her a little bit and just, taking moments to have fun with her and, good-natured tease her and say, hey, it'd be after a game and she may be getting the tape cut off her ankles or whatever. Hey, you ready for your interview? And then just to see her, no, in her, heavy accent. And I said, but if you keep playing like this, we have no choice, I said, you're gonna owe us one. We're just preparing you for the fall, right? And she's like, okay, I'll do one. She said, but I only have one more chance to get that national championship. So see, the mindset is on national championship. These players are coming back to win a national championship. That's a singular focus of this team. And to see a player, and I keep using Karen because I've had the fortunate opportunity over a couple of summers and multiple years to watch her blossom as a person, to watch that personality come out, to watch that confidence come out. Obviously, to see the confidence come out in her second language, right? So I'm sure she was much more confident in the settings around her teammates, at the cafeteria, with her friends and so forth, and speaking in her native tongue. But to get more confident in that secondary language, in English, and to see her personality be able to translate to the English language, and just to see her grow up, she has a chance to be a really, really, really good player in that league, in the NAIA, and help this team, again, accomplish that goal.
Lot in front of them, for this upcoming season. I'm looking forward to seeing it from a front row seat. All right, I promised you a little bit about this, and we'll recap it in full now, but historic season when it comes to NAIA baseball's recognition at the national level as for the best draft for the NAIA teams in the modern era, and by modern era, I mean when it's gone to 20 rounds, had 8 different NAIA athletes selected in the MLB draft. It started in round 6 with Gable Pentecost from Taylor University, along with Kalen Hampson, who got drafted in the 8th round. That was a University of Cumberland's player. Pitcher from Lewis-Clark State, another pitcher from Houston Victoria, had a flair from Weber International. All these are pitchers except when you get down to Robert Phelps, who was the last one drafted in the 19th round. He's a guy from Reinhardt. But nobody drafted from the SSAC, not necessarily surprising. Although, I got to tell you this, Josh, and they had some undrafted free agents sign contracts as well outside of the 8, which I didn't name all 8. But I think my biggest surprise was 2-time player of the year from the University of the Cumberlands, Charlie Muniz. You remember hearing about him, the Grand Slam guy.
Sure,
from
I was fixing to ask you about him.
Did not get drafted. He signed with the Atlantic League. He's playing over in Lexington, Kentucky. But I don't know all the ins and outs of that situation. Perhaps one of our friends at NAIA Ball can shed some light. But I was a talented player. Hey, I grant he's a little older. I do know that much. So maybe there's a risk associated with that for guys in the NAIA. He's also not a pitcher. Again, only one position player was taken in those 20 rounds. So maybe it's a mix of that. The age, the fact that he's not a pitcher, and the fact that he's from the NAIA were enough to say maybe not.
Or was it the analytics, or was it the lack of analytics? Was it the TrackMan stats, aka, or lack of TrackMan stats to be looking at, you know, exit velo on some of those balls and things like that, to look at his power and so forth, because I mean they're numbers they're looking for, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are some certain metrics that teams, you know, find flashier than others that you would really love to get a measure of. But at the same time, TrackMan is not just limited to in-game situations anymore. You know, they've got TrackMan things for both golf and baseball that are portable, that people can set up in the batting cages, all these other things. They can get metrics and report them. I'm really curious. Again, I think Charlie was a catcher.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a catcher slash DH when he was at Cumberland's. So what it all boils down to is he's a great player, but for the time being, his days of playing professionally for the MLB are still off in the distance. Now, that said, that doesn't mean he can't make an ascent through his league in the Atlantic, because think of a guy like Patrick Lee. That sure was a guy that made a quick ascent up the ranks from the Frontier League, playing in, I think it was Evansville, to all of a sudden jumping in feet first, getting a contract signing with the Detroit Tigers Association. And then bada bing, bada boom, a couple months later, you're in AAA. I mean, it happens fast if you're having a good time out there in whatever league you're a part of. So I wouldn't rule it out for that young man. But at the same time, the cards that he's dealt right now are what they are.
Well, and speaking of that, you know, you mentioned nobody from the Southern States Athletic Conference getting drafted, but speaking of our league and speaking of a player like Alex Carrillo, who just a couple of weeks ago makes it to the show, former Faulkner Eagle, who got called up, and I went and pulled his numbers. He got called up during the series with the Orioles a few weeks back and was a member of the 2018 and 19 teams at Faulkner, and really was spectacular in AAA. Actually had 5 2/3 innings of perfect pitching with 10 strikeouts, even was able to clock a 100-mile-per-hour fastball. So he goes from AA to the MLB in just 14 days. Now, you look back at how this all started. After COVID, he actually joined the Frontier League with the New York Boulders before heading to Mexico, pitching a couple of seasons for the Quintana Roo. Then he returned stateside for baseball in 2024, pitching for the Washington Wild Things in the Frontier League. From the Wild Things, that earned him a shot with the Venezuelan Winter League pitching, the Tigres de Aragua, and continuing his toward form, posting a 3.38 ERA and a 4-1 record, and it goes on from there. But, you know, all the way through Frontier League, you know, international leagues, winter leagues. Yeah, baseball is just that sport that you just can't ever rule someone out that has that kind of drive, determination. Obviously, the intangibles, right? The talent was there. And so that's just a encouraging story for players in the league, for players at William Carey University as well. And so one that was worth passing on. Now, did he get roughed up a little bit in the majors? Yes, he did. Struggled, 0-1 record, ERA, and gave up 4 home runs in just 4 2/3 innings, only 4 strikeouts. But I hope with that upside that he can hang on in the Mets organization and then find his way back to the show, much like a Hurston Waldrop, who went up from AAA in Gwinnett to Atlanta, goes back down, and now he's headed back next week to Atlanta. So hopefully for Carrillo, that could be a similar type of a path.
Yeah, it could be. And by the way, I mentioned his name earlier. Patrick Lee, currently with the High A West Michigan Whitecaps, set a record or tied a record for 4 stolen bases in a game just a couple weeks ago. Forgot to mention that last week. I think it was news back then that I could have reported, but it got tied up and never got back around to it. But congratulations to Patrick. Still showing off that speed that we saw when he was down here in Hattiesburg. Man, was he quite the anchor in center field, and he's doing it even more at the minor league level. So hope to see him maybe make a couple jumps up in the future.
With the new roster restrictions of Division I, do you expect to see those NAI numbers go up? You know, maybe not many, maybe a handful, 2 to 3 to 5 over the next few years because of the quality of players that could trickle down back into NAIA.
I got to be honest with you. I'm not an economist, and so therefore I'm not very well versed in the things of trickle down athletics economics.
Sure.
So does it actually trickle down from D1 all the way to the NAIA? I don't know. I think you could make that argument in theory here in the off season. What it's all going to boil down to is will NIL and rev share, you know, make a huge splash in college baseball to where you do see more of those, you know, fringe athletes kind of make their way down and down to where you see that after effect happen in the NAIA? Maybe. Maybe. All depends on how many of these schools can fund it. And at which point you start weighing the differences. Okay, what's the difference between this, you know, NAIA team and this NCAA Division I team that didn't really pour in all their resources to baseball?
Sure.
I mean, I know several schools in NCAA D1 that I would not give a thought to in comparison to what William Carey pours into baseball. And that's not the bias show, and that's just the honest truth of what baseball is to this community. But we'll see. Time will tell in that regard. All right, one more segment with you as we count our way down to the start of the 2025 athletics calendar season. We'll be right back.
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, final segment here on Crusader Talk. Glad y'all are with us. Final show of the month of July. Rolling right on through.
I put you on the spot in that last segment talking about NAIA baseball. And you're assuming that Carey will always be NAIA forever.
You also made me turn into Miss South Carolina there for a little bit. Trying to describe why people don't have maps and can't locate the U.S. That's all good. That's why we do it live. That's the glory of having a podcast. It's also a live radio show. There's no editing, tricking, and reconfiguring. We just handle it as is. But yeah, you're right. There's no definition. I can't even think of how to say that. There's not a definite set-in-stone thing that says William Carey is going to be NAIA forever. There's certainly a possibility to be two in the future, and there are certain benefits to it, most of them regional, to say that. The possibility of perhaps in the future joining the Gulf South, which has Mississippi College or Mississippi Christian. So this is like me trying to relearn Jones College instead of JCJC. That was a tough
one. That was a big ordeal.
I actually had to call the first football game as they announced they were going to be Jones College, and I was just I didn't know what to do.
Well, so it's like we went, wait a minute. So they're not JCJC, they're just JC. Okay.
That's right.
They lost half. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember it. Remember it well.
Got Jones College, Jimmy Carter, and Jesus Christ. All the JCs.
All the JCs. Wow. What a group. What a group.
Anyway. That's the only way there's no way I can jump out of that one.
You forgot Johnny Cash.
Oh, that's true.
Johnny Carson.
Yeah, man. It's a popular combo right there.
Yeah.
But I have no way to segue out of this conversation at all.
Stuck.
But to say that, just to finish the thought, as I chased a rabbit for a moment there, William Carey could see a benefit in joining the D2 leagues if it's something where they're playing Delta State, Mississippi Christian, some of these more
West Alabama,
Spring Hill, all of those. It would be nice. I think Auburn Montgomery.
Yes.
Yeah, former team in the SSAC. So you get a couple renewed rivalries perhaps, and I think it would be so good just for the camaraderie of having people nearby, because you can only as a community get so geared up for a Georgia school that you've never heard of coming to town.
No, it's our fans love. So again, adding Xavier to the league, going back to where we were a couple of segments ago, but Loyola, Faulkner, Mobile, Tennessee Southern, Blue Mountain, as in particular our division of the Southern States Athletic Conference, our students get excited about some of those matchups.
Yeah.
And they enjoy coming out for those matchups.
And think about how if you've just started tuning in or your ears perked up, there's no word that William Carey is joining D2. This is not anything that is happening that we're just privy to and trying to hint at it for you. We're just, you know, flapping our gums, talking about something that we think is interesting. But, yeah, you think about the Mississippi College game where they came to play us at Milton Wheeler Field. That was an incredible crowd. Now, granted, the ADP was having their event over there as well, but still – from a community interest and short drive for the folks over in Clinton, That is one of the most packed games I've ever seen here in Hattiesburg at Milton Wheeler.
Tip of the cap to Ben Smith and the marketing events and the in-game promotions and the, you know, different maybe T-shirt tosses and so forth. All the things that they incorporated with Sean on PA, with Ben running around the stadium and on the field, with some races on the field, and like you would see at a minor league game, major league game, the Mississippi Christian fans were blown away. They were saying, wow, we didn't know you did all this. Well, all that stuff is just now in its infancy, but that's where they're wanting it to go in multiple sports. We had the autograph signing for the championship team for the ladies after the game this year when they clinched their undefeated season, won the conference. You're going to see a ton more of that this year with the crew, with the student organization, with, you know, certain features, giveaways, things of that nature, business buy-in, and giveaways and so forth. So really looking forward to that. And, you know, just to tie a bow on what we were talking about and how we got to where we were just in that comment, we were just mentioning, going back to the last segment, again, if you're just tuning in, there are going to be about 1,500 baseball players looking for new homes because of the Division I restrictions on rosters. And how would that affect Cary? And then that led to us discussing during the break. And then here we are wrapping the show with that. But a lot to think about. I guess the big thing is that a lot's going to change. And when you're a team like Cary with the momentum that Cary has and the brand that Cary has in athletics, where players are reaching out to you, agents are reaching out, international agents are reaching out to you, Cary's put themselves in a very enviable spot.
I think it's going to, if you're going to talk about two different positions that you're going to see a possible big boost in as they trickle down, in thinking about this, I was saying, okay, the less roster spots you have, what's going to go first? And I said, outfielders and pitchers. Now, you're going to have to keep a pitching staff, but you're going to lose some of those spots to having backups for your infield. Your outfield, that's typically the one rotation that has the most options from what you currently have allotted. So I think that's going to, again, cause that trickle down to where you see maybe the hitting and pitching increase as you continue down that ladder rung. By the way, just thinking about atmospheres, stadiums, basketball or baseball, which one's going to get a Jumbotron first to Cary?
Ooh, probably baseball, because they're probably not going to put a new Jumbotron in the old gym. The current gym. Yeah. They're going to build a new facility.
So I guess the countdown will be, is it going to be new facility first or Jumbotron at baseball first? Time will tell. All right, that is it for us on this edition of Crusader Talk. For Dalton Stanford and Josh West, I'm Caleb Hamill. Good night. God bless. Go Saders.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.